وسلم وبارك على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم. أما بعد، السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. إن شاء الله، what we want to remind ourselves of today is basically can be summarized in a phrase we hear often, which is, we actually hear that truth or strength, actually. People say that strength is in numbers. Well, I'd like to remind ourselves that that is not the case. Actually, strength is in the truth. It's not in numbers. It's in the truth. So, and this is a reminder we need in our times, because if we look all around us, there's very few pockets of people who are or seem to be on the side of truth. We are surrounded by Dajjalic forces, batil all around us. This movie that is being promulgated, Hunger Games, they should call it the Dajjalic Games. Because if you look at, if you really knew what is going on, and it's not really for everyone to know what's going on, Allah only gives that knowledge to those who can handle it and bear it. But it literally is, I didn't see the movie, but, you know, they allow these things to be put into the popular culture kind of as a forewarning. But actually, the reality is much worse, I would guess, based on not having seen the movie. But in reality, the Dajjalic forces are pressing buttons exactly akin to what I suppose the Hunger Games is about. I mean, they are playing games with our food. I mean, they're pushing buttons with these GMO foods, and people, we don't know where a lot of the illnesses are coming from. I talked about the chemtrails enough, and if you haven't heard about it, then you can read about it. It's very, it's becoming common knowledge now, but it's basically geoengineering tactics, or they say that it's to combat global warming, but it doesn't explain why there's so many heavy metals like aluminum and mercury, all these things dropping from the skies. And that's partly why we have these things like devastating tornadoes and hurricanes and extreme weather patterns taking place. So may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us all. So throughout all of that, what we need to be reminded is whether in our group, in Tariqah, being students of an incredible arif billah like Sayyidina Sheikh Muhammad Al-Yaqubi, hafidhullah, we're incredibly, incredibly blessed to be in this group, because what we're getting is the truth coming through this silsila, which is why we're even given this knowledge, to understand, to make sense of what is going on all around us, so that a small force, whether what, it doesn't matter, as we said, about the numbers, but whatever small force of us get the truth, inshallah, that's all it takes. Ibrahim alayhi salam, he was the whole ummah, just one person. So it's interesting that the truth, the strength is in the truth, not in the quantity, not in numbers. And we can see this over and over again in the history, in parables. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, what he was able to accomplish, just look at the seerah, with the small band of his followers in Mecca al-Mukarramah, and then going on, and then in the Battle of Badr, 313 against over 3,000 of the kuffar. So we see this again and again. So this is a reminder to ourselves not to be saddened, and certainly not to have despair, wali a'udhu billah, about the smaller numbers that know the truth and are doing the right thing. So inshallah, as long as Allah knows who He wants to be informed of the truth. And so alhamdulillah, as long as He keeps us in it and we keep moving forward, that's what we ask Him for, subhanahu wa ta'ala. And remember that Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu, it's an incredible thing to look at various aspects of the seerah, which we're even told over and over again, but then we get different highlights from it when we reflect on certain parts of it. For instance, we know at the Battle of Tabuk, when the Prophet ﷺ was asking the Ummah to give more, and more. And we know that because it was a big expedition, and so more of the Ummah needed to contribute to this expedition. And we know the story of Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu and the competition with Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu. And Sayyidina Umar gave half of his wealth. And when he found out, when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam asked Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq what he gave, it was all of his wealth. And when he asked him what he left for his family, he said, "I left them Allah and His Messenger, sallallahu alaihi wasallam." When we reflect on that, what we get is that if we leave our families, and this doesn't mean just in our passing, in our existence as well, when we leave our families with knowledge, we are leaving them everything. So as long as we give them knowledge, this is what we can learn from this lesson of Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu, then inshallah, we're taking care of everything when we're passing knowledge, transmitting knowledge, and getting it from the true sources, inshallah. So he felt totally confident in saying that. I left them everything. There is nothing I didn't give them. I am verily giving them everything by giving them Allah and His Messenger, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So what is the corollary to that? So someone who is not passing that to his circle, not just his family, but a circle of influence, well, he better be leaving them something more in funds and all other inheritance. And so, because then you're really leaving them nothing to fight in this world with. So you see how it balances everything out. So those who are not giving this to their family, they better account for what they're leaving their family in terms of the dunya. Because then you really are tying their limbs, in essence, and not passing on anything for this struggle in this world. And we don't want to be in that boat. So this is an incredible example to live up to, whatever portions of knowledge we can give and pass on to those around us. Now, in the subcontinent culture, there's all these rules in terms of especially gatherings and parties. You know, you'll find the elders saying, you can't do this. You know, why did you do that? And usually as you're being brought up, you will be questioned if you did something in public. And we talked about this last time. To not have this, how do we combat this? I mean, this is a good thing, but it's much easier if we're already worried about that. What did we say? Husnul adab fil wahda. When we're doing this, when we're alone, we don't have to have this conscientious aspect of it when we're in public. So it becomes second nature. So that's what we mean by sloughing off the pretense and sham. So it just comes, and that is the Shadidi way, by the way, to just constantly practice this in our private life so that it becomes second nature. And it's not like we're being two-faced. We're being natural, whether in private and or public. And this is what I was brought up with the life around the ulama. I never saw them do something weird or strange in their private life, and there's very few who can have that exposure and see these aspects of the ulama in their private life, in the most excruciating aspects of their life. This is why when I used to arrange programs, I always wanted to do a program where it's called, a day in the life. You know, the day in the life books? I wanted to kind of have it like that, a day in the life with the sheikh, so that people could see. And hopefully, inshallah, with these small gatherings, it doesn't matter that they're small, but hopefully we're encouraging each other to practice the sunnah so that, and it's not considered pretense if obviously we're in better behavior when the sheikh is around or when we're together. It's called practice, so that we practice more and more, better and better adab in our private and in our public. So this is the whole goal, inshallah. And so it's a subcontinent culture. We don't want to have it just in public space where we're told to be, these proper etiquettes. But we should have that, as the ulama do, continually, to have that adab with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, actually more so in private, And this is how they get the ikhlas, the sincerity, because the ulama, this is their way. They're keenly aware of etiquette and adab in their private affairs and in their munajat with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is where they get their tawfiq from. So we want to emulate that, inshallah. And then to get at this level where nothing should astonish us. That's actually the stage of ma'rifah, is to get at that level where nothing should, we shouldn't even use this word shock, actually, except if it's used medically. You know, there's, you could look at even in the dunyawi sense, there's a book this week that my son was reading about this hiker in the mountains in Colorado who gets stuck. I think the book is called Between the Rock and a Hard Place, because he gets stuck. It's a true story of this mountain climber, and he's quite adept, actually. He's not a novice. And in one instance, within split seconds, he falls through this abyss between two huge cavernous, you know, in this small space, this cavernous space. He didn't think that he would fall through, but he does, into the depths of this abyss. And then worse than that is that this huge boulder kind of comes between his hand and the other boulder. That's why it's called Between the Rock and Hard Place. And so I think they made a movie out of, the movie actually, I think it's called 127 Hours, because that's how long it took for him to figure out what to do. And he ends up severing his arm. It figures that there's no, because his hand within, I believe, obviously the first day, it's already turned black and blue because there's no circulation there anymore. And he assumed that he would just die. What's interesting about this story is that when, you know, he's rescued and everything eventually, after he severs his arm and he walks out of the cavern and meets up with other hikers who call emergency services, and he's helicoptered out to the hospital. But the doctor's first question was that, this is amazing that your body did not go into shock. Because medically, what shock means is that you just have no blood pressure. That's what shock means. So for the spiritual level, it's akin to the same thing. If we're practicing not being shocked, now, the opposite of that, so it's a nice story, you know, to teach ourselves not to have this, because for them, medically, that's remarkable, because most people, they would die of the shock. That's the point here. He didn't die because he was a happy-go-lucky guy. This is what I told the kids to learn from this, because it showed that his attitude before this happened to him, he was always a happy-go-lucky guy with a you know, very positive attitude. So in the spiritual level, this is what we want. Now that benefited him in the dunya. Imagine how much this is going to help us in the spiritual realm. Obviously, inshallah, what we want is all the way to the akhirah. We want this spiritual height. So this benefits the dunya as well. Every spiritual aspect that we talk about that benefits us in the akhirah, it helps us immensely in the dunya as well. So this is why Sheikh Abul Hassan al-Shadhili, rahimahullah, said that if our worry is the akhirah, Allah takes care of all of their worries. I mean, we don't have to have any of this anxiety. I mentioned, like, that we might have this tornado, naqadarallah, all these things, just to prepare. We still have to prepare, because Allah gave us this aql in order to understand and make sense of things. But we put it all together, and inshallah, still have the focus on the akhirah, and inshallah, we come through with success, bismillah. So, so the corollary to that, to not have shock, is, but we can't have ta'ajjub in terms of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because the arif billah, he in terms of a definition or a description of him, it would be he whose speech decreases as his knowledge of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala increases, but his amazement increases. So, but the amazement has to be about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the more we learn about Allah, we're amazed by all of his attributes subhanahu wa ta'ala and all these other aspects. So that continues to increase, where these words like shock and all these other things about the dunya should decrease. And this if we find ourselves in this boat, then inshallah, that will be on the right track. And all these aspects of the dunya that we talk about that are difficult for most people, what will happen is they'll become very easy for the one. Facile. Facile is a nice word. F-A-C-I-L-E. That's what should happen, inshallah, with our dunya. And this is what I've seen over and over again with those who live for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The dunya is taken care of. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes it very easy for them. It's just smooth gliding because their worry and effort is on the akhirah. So it makes sense if that would fit into place. So we want to, to wrap up all of these things. Another thing, actually, I wanted to mention that's in the popular culture, and this goes back to what we were talking about in terms of numbers. It's very interesting that if you look at the news lately, there are a lot of scandals with coaches, like the Penn State coach, Joe Pa. Apparently, he's big news because, now he's not the one with the scandal, but because he didn't do anything with another coach, a colleague of his, I guess Sardusky was his name, but because he didn't call him out when he heard some rumors about him with the scandal and what he might have been doing with some of the young boys. But it's interesting that they still get elevated in popular culture. So if you reflect upon why, it's because there's so few mentors, especially for boys nowadays, that even these guys who have gotten bad rumors, reputation, the popular culture still promotes them because there's very few people giving this to the masses, giving especially boys a way to live, showing them a way to live that gives them this motivation, and which is severely lacking in the vast majority of youth. Motivation to go on, encouragement to keep going when the going gets tough. This is what the coaches do. And this is why, even when there's a scandal with them, they still get promoted. So, with his 409 victories, apparently, that's huge, big news. Because no one ever bought any team to 400 victories, which is what Joe Pa took them beyond that. So, but look at what we have. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave us our incredible teachers, which when we look at the numbers, there's so few. I've been traveling for the sake of knowledge. And those of us, all of us who travel, we see the same people, no matter where we go in the world. I mean, it's like 0.0001%. The tulab al-ilm all over the world. So again, the numbers are small, but inshallah, we're on the truth. So we should not get discouraged about that. And actually, I wanted this as a reminder as well, because even as, it doesn't mean we shouldn't try to bring in more numbers. We do our part in sharing with others so that our numbers increase. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows in the end when and where that will be. And some people have more success in that than others in being able to share this and bringing in more people. Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu an, Abu Bayda ibn al-Jarrah, they were extremely, they were to be accredited with bringing a lot into the fold of Islam. So some have more success in this than others. So we should still always encourage others, because we want, what do we want? We want others to share in, because the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, we always want whatever it is that we want for ourselves, we should want for others. So that's our niyyah. We want more in our fold. We want Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to be happy. That's our ultimate niyyah. Why do we share this? Whether it's with the non-Muslim, it's to make Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam happy. So there's more numbers in his ummah. So the numbers do matter in terms of our niyyah. But in terms of the fruition, the actualization, that's up to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So we shouldn't get discouraged. That's my point in terms of that. And what did Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala say? وَإِنْ يَكُمْ مِنْكُمْ مِيَةٌ يَغْلِبُوا أَلْفًا مِنَ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا بِأَنَّهُمْ قَوْمٌ لَا يَفْقَهُونَ. So this is a reminder to us that we shouldn't get discouraged when we are in small numbers, because one of us is like 10 of them, of a disbeliever. So we're on the path of truth. And so that is our movement forward. Now, in terms of the medical routes, you all have seen how much I've been struggling to share the knowledge with my book and others. It's small numbers. Okay, even those who are not doing it in terms of religiously like I am, I'm trying to combine it all because it's all, ultimately, all of this. هذا هو الحق. What we're trying to teach in terms of medicine, this is why it's a big part of what I'm trying to bring to the world. Because what I found is a huge battle in terms of medicine. I'm trying to bring that because if people only knew, the truth about medicine is very easy. Very easy to solve the vast majority of the problems. And it's actually the opposite of what they say. Cancer is the easiest. These things that they want, rude, scare people, those things are the easiest to cure. And the things that are hardest, like the illnesses like ADHD and all of that, they want to like just shove it under the rug. Those things are much harder and it takes a little bit longer. Even that becomes easy when we rely on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So everything is batil upside down. We need to correct these matters. And who is it going to correct it? It doesn't matter for a small band that is trying to correct it. It's still, we need to move forward, inshallah. Margaret Mead said, never doubt that a small group of thoughtful, committed citizens can change the world. Indeed, it's only they that have ever done so. So we have to keep this in mind and continue to move forward, inshallah. Jazallahu anna Sayyidina Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, wa ma huwa ahlu. Jazallahu anna Sayyidina Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, wa ma huwa ahlu. Jazallahu anna Sayyidina Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, wa ma huwa ahlu. Subhana rabbika rabbil izzati amma yasifun. Wa salamun ala al-mursalin, wa alhamdulillahi rabbil alamin.